Hi, my name is Roger Graves, and I'm Professor Emeritus from the University of Alberta and co-author with Heather Graves of the Concise Guide to Technical Communication, available from Broadview Press. Our latest book, it was new in 2020. For links to the publisher's website and for more resources, visit wecanwrite.ca. Today's episode is from Chapter 10 of the Concise Guide. It's called Presenting Technical Information Orally. Now, people often refer to giving presentations as right up there with dying and other super traumatic experiences. And I'm not really sure exactly why that is, although there have been times when I've been giving a presentation where it's not been comfortable, certainly at the start. And sometimes that is the biggest problem, just getting going. I've given 400 or 500 presentations over the last 10 years. I've actually forgotten. I have stopped counting a while back, but I know the number is huge. I was doing about 50 or 60 per year to undergraduate student classes. So I've done an awful lot of this kind of thing in my time. And I think that there's really, when you talk about giving oral presentations, you really need to talk about different kinds of them because you're going to approach the different ones differently. So let's take a look at that. Chapter 10 starts by saying, what are the most common speaking occasions? And there's really three categories of them. The first category we call casual, impromptu, short talks. So for a casual, impromptu, short talk, I mean, if it's impromptu, how do you prepare for it? I mean, by definition, you don't prepare for it ahead, at least in the sense that you don't prepare for that specific topic ahead. What you can do is pre-rehearse answers to, say, questions you might imagine. So if you're going to a meeting and you might expect that you might be asked for an update on a project, you could have a few notes ready about that project, and you could take a few minutes and just say, if I was asked that question, what exactly would I say in response to it? So some of this is just sort of foreseeing situations that might come up. Others is just foreseeing questions that people might ask, you know, legitimately or, you know, just out of interest, ask you about some piece of work that you're doing or some aspect of yourself, for example. So the way to do that is to think about the question and then imagine what your response might be and try to keep that response to 30 to 60 seconds because that sort of is enough time to give people some indication. And then if they want more information, they can always ask a follow-up question. So don't try to overdo the response. Give them enough and then sort of check with them to see if they'd like more information. I know as PhD students, we were asked to prepare a so-called elevator speech, which is somebody is riding an elevator with you and asks you, what's your dissertation about? And so you've got less than 3 minutes to explain to them what it is you're doing. So it's a very complicated topic, but it's got to be really compressed and then adapted for an audience who's coming to the project without any information. So that's an example of the kind of thing that you might be thinking about doing. The second category of opportunities to present information orally is speaking to small group meetings. And we talk about how you can prepare for informal presentations, which are a group that you work with and you know all of these people. And so you've got some kind of, you might be giving a background or a history of a project. You might present a couple of alternative plans of actions. You might summarize something that you're working on or procedure or something that you're proposed to do. And when you're working with a small group, sometimes you might want to give them a sample or a piece of a document or a procedure or a sample document that you're preparing. And so you might think about it as an option for that meeting. Is there something that you're working on they might want to look at a draft of? And so that's the kind of thing you might think about as a handout or something to support what you're doing in person. The third category is formal presentations to large groups. These are the presentations which typically induce the most stress in people. So some of the in order to get ready for that kind of thing, you might ask a bunch of questions, including things like how many people are expected to attend, who specifically will be there. So people outside your organization or group. So are the clients going to be there? Is your supervisor going to be there? Those are things that you need to know. Is it a mixed group? So people from different categories, or are they homogenous? They're all members of a student class, for example. So that's one of the things I always needed to know. You need to ask questions or find out as much as you can about the venue. So how large is the room? I mean, I've talked in small classrooms, meeting rooms. I've also talked in 300, 500 student lecture halls. That's, it makes a huge difference in terms of what it is you're going to prepare and what you think that interaction might be with that group. How will the room be set up? Will people be in rows of chairs, or will it be in group at tables, which offer possibilities for a lot more conversation? So that's pre-information. Before, as you're getting ready, you need to have some sense of these variables. And there's a bunch more of them that we talk about in the chapter. So once you've got a sense of what the meeting room is going to be like, you want to start thinking about what it is you're going to be talking about in the presentation. And one of the things I always tried to do was differentiate between what I might put on a slide to show people, and then what I might put on a handout to give people to look at. Now, that handout may or may not be printed off. It could be a link that I send out to people. It could be a link that I publicize at the start of the presentation. But I want to differentiate there between things I want them to see while I'm talking, and I'll put that on a slide, and things which are more extended and more detailed, that I'll put on a handout or a supplementary text or whatever, and then make that available to them. But I don't necessarily want them to be seeing that during a presentation. It's there for them to look at. Now, that's another issue. So if during a presentation you actually want them to be looking at something, then that's where you would put it on a physical handout or even a digital one, which you then email to them, and that they can be looking at while you're talking. So you're trying to imagine here the context of your remarks, how you want to dictate how they use their time, where you want their attention to be. I guess that's the best way to think about it. Do you want their attention to be on your face, on your slides, on your handout? You have choices, and you can work around between those things. Towards the end of the chapter, then, we give a bunch of information about deciding what information to include on your slides, how much background to present, how to organize them, how much in the way of visual information in addition to verbal information that you might want to put on those slides. You know, and a lot of that is thinking about who is your audience. Now, I imagine you've heard about Prezis, which are not slides per se, but a different way of presenting information visually. I've had success using those. They're different. One of the big things for me, and I think the other slide methodologies have caught up to this, but one of the big things with Prezi was that I could just put that out there as a link for anybody to view. And I've had like thousands of people look at slides, which I never intended that would be that used in that way, but it extends the reach of what you're doing. So again, depending on who's invited you to give the presentation, who you might think might be interested in it, you can make that available online that way. So that's another consideration in terms of the technology you use to create the presentation. Well, thanks for listening. This has been a summary of what's in Chapter 10 of the Concise Guide to Technical Communication. That's by Roger Graves and Heather Graves, and that's from broadviewpress.com. For links to all the podcasts about the book and other ones in addition to that, please go to wecanwrite.ca.